All right, we led off today giving you an update on the three Muslim students who were killed, shot to death in North Carolina. Police have charged a Chapel Hill man Wednesday with first-degree murder in the death of three Muslim students in a quiet neighborhood just south of where we're talking about with North Carolina, the campus. One was a student, doctoral student in the School of Dentistry. The sisters were North Carolina State University students. Police found all three victims dead at the scene after responding to a report of gunshots. Okay? Joining us, because, of course, three killed here who are Muslims, honor students, people going to college, etc. There are people who believe this is a hate crime. Here is an official from CARE laying that out before we talk with the local CARE executive director. Cut 17 here on Talk Radio 1210. AT&T and
Verizon. A shooting in North Carolina killed three members of a Muslim family. 23-year-old Dia Barakat, 21-year-old Yusor Mohammed were both students and newlyweds. They were just married in December. Razan Mohammed Abu Salah, Yusor Mohammed's sister, was just 19 years old. She was studying at NC State. Craig Stephen Hicks, 46, has now been charged with first-degree murder after turning himself into police. Chapel Hill police saying their preliminary investigation, though, points to a mundane motive, a fight over parking. But the country's largest Muslim civil rights organization is calling on police to consider the possibility of a hate crime. The Council on American Islamic Relations saying this: we urge state and federal law enforcement authorities to quickly address speculation of a possible bias motive in this case.
All right, that's the coverage of that. Let's bring in Jacob Bender, who's the executive director of the Philadelphia Council on American Islamic Relations. Jacob, welcome in. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dom, for having me again.
Well, I guess the question I would ask, though, before we get to the evidence of this is, why this need to label anything a hate crime? Shouldn't we all be universally saying this maniac ought to be as executed as quickly as possible?
Well, first of all, we condemn the brutal murders of the three young students, and may their memory be a blessing, and we offer comfort to their family and friends and to all who knew them. And on this sad morning, we also, I think it is too early to comment on any legal aspect of this tragedy. For as a civil rights organization, CARE believes in the rights of all accused, even those accused of the most heinous crimes. However, on this sad morning, we see that these murders take place within the climate of a growing anti-Muslim bias in this country, of fear-mongering. North Carolina had passed so-called anti-Sharia legislation. We have anti-Muslim bus ads potentially coming to a SEPTA bus near you. So we see that these crimes are not isolated incidents or tragedies, but take place in a growing climate of fear and condemnation of Islam and the entire Muslim community.
Okay, well, that's a lot to digest. Let's take the imminent causality here, though. Don't we have to start with this rather than this causality that you're talking about trying to pyramid from this? This man was opposed to all religions. He was a religious hater. He was an atheist. He was a progressive. He admired all these people on MSNBC and Bill Nye, the science guy. So where's the motivation of Muslim hatred versus it was a parking dispute and this guy was a hater of religious people?
Well, you're staying clearly that this is a parking dispute where this has not been proven yet. And if he describes himself as an atheist and an artist, are we going to demand that all atheists apologize the same way Muslims?
Oh boy, Jacob. Oh my God, you've fallen into this. Okay, so I would tell you that I didn't think a guy of your background would fall into this. So you're telling me, how many atheists do we have out there on the loose that are beheading people, setting people on fire, preaching sudden jihad and threatening us even here on our homeland?
Well, we have an attack by white Christians of the Ku Klux Klan last year at a Passover, near Passover, holiday in Kansas City. We have an attack.
Wait a minute. We're going to go one at a time. So it was a Passover attack. They were attacking Jews.
Yes. But
they weren't attacking Muslims.
But nobody accused him of terrorism. It seems that only when Muslims are involved in violence that the word terrorism gets dragged out over and over again.
And why is that, do you think?
Well, I think because there's an anti-Muslim bias in this country. For instance, when a white Christian relying on anti-Islamic teachings and websites goes on a rampage and kills 85 people or so in Norway, that person is never described as a terrorist. He's described as a lone wolf. And yet, whenever Muslims, out of a perversion of their faith, commit violence, the word terrorism is constantly used.
Well, could it be because of their own writings or what they preach, as we saw in Paris? And could it be because we can't go almost an hour without seeing somewhere in the world one of these attacks?
But this is exaggerated out of all proportion. There are 1.5 billion Muslims, peace-loving Muslims around the world, and we're talking about a small, small percentage of people who commit violence. The Islam of the shooters in Paris has as much in common with mainstream Islam as the Ku Klux Klan has in connection to mainstream.
Boy, you really have to reach if we're going with the KKK. Isn't that pretty tiresome that you're going back to the KKK when we have this problem? Do you not see how this breeds more, Jacob, pushback when you say these silly things?
I don't believe they're silly. I believe that, again, the media has been attacking Muslims over and over again out of proportion to the millions of peace-loving and nonviolent Muslims in this country.
Okay, well, let's talk about ISIS then and what they inspire. Do you think we're overdoing it? That the hype with ISIS is too much?
Well, every mainstream Muslim organization in the world has condemned ISIS over and over and over again. And you keep bringing this up, and the media keeps bringing up ISIS as if somehow it is representative of Islam. And that's why I go back to the KKK. If you want something more recent, we can talk about the genocide of Muslims by Orthodox Christians in the Bosnia Civil War only 2 decades ago.
Oh, my goodness. This is as bad as the do you want to throw the Crusades in while we're here?
I would certainly do that. I mean, is it only, you know, Muslims who are open for attack and condemnation when they commit violence? Or in this case, again, we're going back and saying that this is just a deranged individual who is not in any way influenced by the anti-Muslim climate in his state or in the country.
Well, but
I think over and over again, the media is being unfair to the Muslim community, is being unfair to the 1.5 billion Muslims around the world who have not been accused of crimes, who condemn the small number of extremists in their communities.
You have provided, so you're doing the narrative now is this, we just have to wait and see, even though we have a lot of evidence with this guy, a lot of witnesses that he had fought with people over parking spaces before, and we have his own Facebook page, etc., which tells you clearly that this guy was anti-religious and an atheist.
Yes, but part of the attack upon Muslims is based upon their faith. And this takes place within a country, our United States of America, which has demonized previous religions. 100 years ago, the same things being said about Muslims today were being said about Catholics, that they were Catholicism was incompatible with democracy, that they were a foreign implant. The onus is now on yourself and on people in this country.
Okay.
Wait, let me have a question to finally say, is Islam a foreign implant, or is it something that can coexist in this country with Christianity and Judaism?
Where do we see that Islam in many almost every nation that I can think of around the world is compatible with democracy?
India, for one.
Are practitioners of Islam, are they the number one religion in India?
No, they're a minority, but it shows.
They're a minority.
Yes. And it shows that when Muslims, it can exist within a democratic society such as our own. Would you say that those followers of Islam are somehow antithetical to living a full democratic and pluralistic life in the United States?
I would tell you that Sharia law certainly is. It is anti-American, yes.
And so every time I go buy a box of matzah and it has a heksher, meaning it has a kosher stamp on it, which is a manifestation of halakha, Jewish religious law, that somehow I'm being anti-American.
No, I don't think so. But when women are second-class citizens, as I believe they clearly are, in my view, and I have a right to my view, we're still in America the last time I look, that is incompatible, but I would support the right of women who choose to be second-class citizens in America to do that. I just don't want Sharia law to be enforcing that.
The whole question of Sharia law is vastly misunderstood by every commentator who has never read a book about Sharia law, relies on people such as Pam Geller for their superficial
viewpoint. Wait a minute. Let me ask you this, though. Well, you mentioned Ms. Geller, and listeners should know, just to refresh, and I'll let you respond. She is asking for freedom of speech here in Philadelphia to put things up that are factual, the connection of some of the Muslim faith during World War II with Hitler, for example. That's a fact. You would squelch that freedom of speech, I take it.
Absolutely not. In fact, the last time I was on your show, I made it very clear that so I would hope you would retract that last statement.
Well, I'm listening
I made it very clear that CARE is not opposed to Ms. Geller's freedom of speech. What we are opposed to is the content, and we hope to engage in a citywide campaign to educate people about the derogatory and bigoted and racist views that she manifests in her ads. For instance, she says that CARE is Hamas in America. We have never been convicted of any crime. We have never murdered anybody. We are a civil rights organization. And so Ms. Geller is just basically engaging in fear-mongering in the same way that other groups in this country have been stigmatized for so long. Let's remember that a report has just come out that after the Civil War to 1940, over 7,000 African Americans were lynched in
this
country.
Nice pivot. Yes, nice pivot. And I thought that's where we would go. And yes, and that's something that is a dark moment in our history.
But does it manifest? Can't we draw the same sort of superficial conclusion?
No. Where are the lynchings of Muslims? Where are these attacks that you speak of?
I'm talking about how one describes a violence committed by a group.
I would not leech off another group who suffered lynchings, Jacob, to make a point about some things today that you feel are anti-Islamic. But listen,
can we also go, you know, we don't have to even go that far. We can go back again to the Bosnia Civil War, in which a quarter million Muslims were murdered by Orthodox Christians in Bosnia.
All righty. Well, Jacob, I'm glad you came on today, and we will follow up if there's any more information that comes out of North Carolina. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Dom, for having me again.
Jacob Bender, Executive Director of Philadelphia CARE.